It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Hey, Phil Goff, how are you?
G'day, Mikey. Good to have you back on.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back. Phil, you must be walking tall. You must be walking tall, Mr. Mayor. You've done very well in the investment in infrastructure up. That's what Aucklanders want to hear. Council salary costs down, and quite significantly as well.
Yeah. No, it was a good annual report that was released last week.
I've been dying for that annual report to come out, Phil. I've just been anxious for weeks waiting to see what would happen.
You and three others, probably, Mikey. What it showed is what you said. We're putting a record level of investment in. And in that annual report where we're talking, I think it's 1.8 billion in infrastructure for the year, if you extrapolate that out for the 10 years, for the 10-year budget, that goes up to 26.2 billion. And at the same time, our total salary costs for the year were $8 million lower than they were last year. And that's despite the fact...
So how did you do that, just out of interest?
Oh, look, there's...
Because I know there was a lot of grief about consultants and a lot of extras, this and that, and a bit of everything been a bit comfy for councillors.
Well, one of the things we're doing, where evidence shows that it's more expensive to employ consultants, we bring the work in-house because, you know, our obligation is to do the job as effectively and cheaply as we can on behalf of the ratepayer. We have constrained spending by council. I see the chief executive a couple of times a week. I'm constantly saying to him, look, I know our population's expanding. I know you need more staff in some areas, like, you know, building consents, for example, which have quadrupled. But we've just got to watch what we're spending. We need to look at everything. Can we do this better? Can we cut duplication? And, you know,
that's a massive cut, though. That's a massive $8 million just in staffing.
Yeah. Well, recall last year we got some flack because the costs went up. But one of those costs was. In common with just about every other public sector employer and many of the private sector employers, was a misinterpretation of the Holidays Act, and we had to make a special payment last year. So last year was out of line anyway. Yep. But we got the flak last year because it was out of line. We didn't get much credit this year because we'd pulled it right back. But that's the nature of life, isn't it? When you do something wrong, you get a caning. When you do something right, people said, "Well, so you should."
Oh, you love it. It was quite inspirational for big business and other councils around the country to what's the secret? Just chuck heaps of people out in the street. You don't have a job anymore. How exactly did you cut spending? I'm assuming no one got a pay decrease.
No. And in fact, there was the usual cost of living pay increase that went to staff. And more than that, for the lower levels of our staff that were on the minimum wage, we are adjusting their salaries up so that they've got a living wage. And I make no apology for that. Anybody that puts in an honest week's work deserves a wage that they can live on and support a family on. And I think that was a moral obligation. And, you know, I think I'd like to think that a lot of Aucklanders agreed with that. Look, things like the chief executive's salary, I think he does a good job, but we said to him this year, you are very well paid, we appreciate the work that you're doing, but on your salary you don't need a huge increase, and his increase I think ended up as a 1.1% increase or something like that. In the mayor's office, we try to lead by example. We're probably spending only half our allocated budget. The rest of it is savings to the ratepayer. And, we won't be able to do that every year, obviously. But where we can save money, we do. I'm known as a bit of an Uncle Scrooge. If it's not my money, I'm spending it as if it was my money. And that means that you do it cautiously and you don't blow money around and you ask hard questions. By and large, council has been able to restrain its costs, but there are areas where we can't. You know, housing, construction costs, for example. Yep. They've been going up across the country by about 8% a year, and that's putting real pain on our budget in a whole lot of areas, particularly with the big infrastructure bill that we're engaged in at the moment. But, you know, what can we do about that?
It must be quite reassuring, though, to be able to sort of have a vision, you know, like a big vision, and you know, aim towards it, and actually get the books sort of in order while you're doing it. That must be quite a and you get to shut people up for a year or so.
Well, I mean, I think the good thing, and then you know, I don't know whether it's particularly appreciated, but in keeping our average general rate increases down to 2.5%, we achieved the lowest rate increases in the country of any metropolitan centre or any high growth city,
and that Auckland did.
And yet when I go around the town, people say, yeah, my bloody rates have gone up. You know, some rates did go up because the value of the property went up disproportionately to everything else. I got a lady that wrote to me saying her rates had gone up by X, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And they had, but her property had increased in value from, you know, $3 million to $6 million. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, when you get an out-of-line increase, because our rates are based on the value of property. And the
did somebody complain who had a $3 million property?
Yeah. They absolutely did. And in quite extravagant terms, I got both barrels.
Did they complain about getting their booms mown as well?
Well, you know, I suppose my other line on that one, you know, everybody says, bloody petrol tax. And I say, well, don't you want us to do any work on our transport system? Of course we do. And I said, well, is this a case of you want to go to heaven but you don't want to die? You know, and it is there is an element of that, and that's a natural human reaction. I feel that way too, I suppose. You know, I look at my rates bill, bloody rates going up, and then I think, well, what are those rates there doing? You know, do I want a better environment? Do I want the infrastructure so that we can actually provide more houses and make housing more affordable? Do I want a better transport system? And the answer to all of those things are yes. Well, who's going to pay for that if I'm not willing to?
Well, I mean, does this mean there's $8 million worth of slush there? Can we have, like, a couple of months free parking or something?
I get that quite a lot, too.
Serious.
I just want you to do this. It's not a big deal. And I say, hey, if I do that for you, I'd have to do that for everybody across the board. And that would cost not, hundreds of dollars. That would cost...
So to make it fair, we'll do it for nobody.
Yeah. Well, you do feel a bit like Dr. No. I'm constantly saying to people coming to me and saying, look, we need more money for this, more money for that. Hey, I'm sorry, we can only spend as a council the money that is given to us by our ratepayers and by our other revenue mechanisms, and that means that we've got to be constrained. There will always be more demand for things than there will be the ability to meet that demand, but we've set out what our priorities are. You know, better transport system, more infrastructure, so more houses, less shortage, less unaffordability, and a cleaner environment, and we need to give an acknowledgement that we want this to be an interesting and exciting and vibrant city to live in. So we're going to invest something in culture too, aren't we?
Good. You also got some new red light cameras going up in town today.
Yeah. And I've been really pleased at the positive nature of the response I've got to this. Look, I've got to confess, a bit of this is personal. I remember in my younger days, when I was a student, about your age, in other words, Mikey.
700.
I was riding my motorbike, and a car came straight through a bloody intersection and ploughed into me. Bike went under the car. I went over the top of the car. Fortunately, had a helmet on, hit my head on the curb. I remember that, and every time I go through an intersection riding my motorbike...
But you say at the time,
days,
you wait and see, I'll be the mayor one day, and I'll put a red light camera here.
I won't say what I said to the driver. He obviously knew I wasn't badly injured because I let fly. I see it every bloody day. Actually, yesterday, I pulled up at the Nelson Street off-ramp of the motorway, and I stopped. The light had gone orange just before I got to it. I stopped. It was red. And the car on the lane beside me just whizzed straight through. Didn't give a damn. And, you know, we had four people killed last year by red light running, and we had 19 serious injuries. And I say to people, look, this is not about shaving a minute off your transport travel time today. This is about public safety. This is about the pedestrian you might have cleaned up, the cyclist that you might have hit, the other car that you could have collided with. And if you're going to do this, then there's going to be a price to you. And we are going to have red light cameras, safety cameras, at major intersections controlled by traffic lights where we know that there is a real problem. And if you don't change your culture, then we'll enforce it. And we're doing it not as a revenue raiser. I'm advertising where the red lights are going.
Shall we say where they are? So I can
let the listeners know. I'll tell you where the latest one. Great South Road and Cavendish Drive, Tayurarangi Drive and Accent Drive, Great North Road and Rata Street, Great South Road and Regan Road. So, you know, I've put them out in the press statement. I did it in the last six cameras we set up. I don't want to make a dollar out of this. I want you to change your culture and your behaviour so that people can be safer. And
there's figures that came out a few weeks ago when they were discussing the speed limit reduction, maybe in the central city, about how if you get hit by a car going 30 kilometres an hour, you have a 10% chance of dying, and if you get hit by a car going 50 kilometres an hour, you have an 80% chance of dying. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying stuff. And I mean, the sad thing is, in probably about
just
nine
need to chill out a wee bit, on the road.
Yeah,
do you think?
In 9 or 10 weeks, we issued 2,314 infringements for the first six speed cameras that we set up, the red light cameras that we set up. That's 30 times a day when people put their own lives and the lives of others at risk. You know, on the speed limit thing, I'm in favour of lower limits where there is clear evidence that that will save lives. I've said to Auckland Transport pretty clearly, I want you to act in an evidence-based way. I don't want blanket reductions in speed limits unless you can demonstrate that these are areas where we have good cause for concern, and in lowering the limits, we're going to save lives and stop injuries. So they need to come to the party and demonstrate that what they are doing is soundly based, and then people will say, well, fair enough. But if you think that they're just putting the limits down and that's just an irritation to us and there's no good reason, then people aren't going to observe it.
All right, Phil, hey, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Have a great day.
It's a pleasure as always. Okay, take
Bye-bye.
Care. See you later.
That's
Bye.
Phil Goff. He's the mayor of Auckland. Auckland's your Auckland where you live. That Auckland, I know.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.